This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. It's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. We'll talk a little bit of baseball here in just a few moments, but more about celebrations because I feel like those are the best celebrations. But I just saw this stat roll through and it kind of encompasses a larger discussion regarding the Cowboys. Tariq Woolen is the Seattle Seahawks cornerback. I just saw this from Pro Football Focus. Out of 114 coverage snaps, how many targets do you think he has?
12.
Alec, would you like to take a guess on how many targets Tariq Woolen has out of 114 coverage snaps this year?
I'm assuming it's
5?
Zero.
What?
Wow.
Quarterbacks do not want to throw in Woolen's direction.
Holy moly.
Whenever they drop back to pass if he's in coverage. So that is lockdown right there. And that brings me to the next point of discussion. You asked Mickey about this morning, but we haven't dived into it yet or dove in or diven. Mm-hmm. Nobody really knows the answer to that question.
Diven.
So there is a beef that we will see play out on Thursday night, and that is between Malik Nabers and Trayvon Diggs. Now, I know that Trayvon Diggs in June posted, Giants been getting belt for some years now because they're getting the whooping from daddy, I guess. And then he also posted it looks like a ninja. I think it's a ninja. Yeah, that's a ninja. And then Malik posted, young boy never broke again's boot up. But he says, P want to insta beef. He tweeting, and I see all of that. And then he said, when he was asked about it, it is what it is. I don't really want to talk about it, about this now. It is game time. Kevin, this could be amazing tomorrow night.
Like, or this go horribly wrong.
Do you? Okay, that's a great way to go about it, because I think after what just happened to Diggs on Sunday, I don't think it's going to happen again this year. Okay. I think he is going to, and you know what? Whenever Jordan Lewis is talking about these details and this part of it, Trayvon Diggs is not immune to being called out on this by any means. Again, the Olave big play, this play that happened on third down here, I don't think he's immune to it at all. I think Diggs is going to say, I want this coverage and I want 100% of it. And this is my game against him.
Okay.
And I am looking forward to now. One of the things, and I think this kind of goes along the Darren Woodson, one of the things you miss on Darren Woodson. What happens when you're watching TV? When you're watching TV,
you get to see all the angles.
You don't see all the angles at all.
Yeah.
You miss your safeties. You miss your cornerbacks because the ball goes that way. Now, when the ball gets put in the air, you get the spectacular surprise of, oh my gosh, I didn't realize this receiver was wide open because you didn't see it because the camera angle's focused in on the ball.
Where if you can see all 22, you can watch the whole way and be like, oh, he's in trouble.
Yeah, and there's nothing more fun than being at a live event and knowing a play is happening while it's happening. If you're at a hockey game and you're seeing, oh my gosh, this guy's open.
Yeah.
I know he has the puck, but he's about to center it, and this guy's going to score, and you know it. Same thing in soccer. Same thing in football. This dude's wide open, and I see my quarterback just saw that. Oh, gosh, this is about to happen. Can he get him the ball? Those are some of the most fun moments. I'm actually kind of getting chills right now just thinking about those moments because I think they're a blast. So that is, I hope that we get an opportunity to see that matchup a lot. I bet Amazon Prime is seeing this little beef going on between them.
They're focusing on that.
They're pulling it aside. Like, watch the pregame. Okay. Listen to the pregame show for sure. But if you're watching it on Prime, I'm betting Richard Sherman and Carissa Thompson are going to have something about this.
Okay.
And I would be interested to hear Richard Sherman's approach to this because he's a guy that he didn't mind talking smack at all.
Sure. Agreed.
So you said it could go horribly wrong. Are you concerned about it or do you think that it's going to go right in your favor?
I am concerned just because I don't know every single person's like intrinsic motivation. So maybe for Trayvon Diggs, he's like, hell no, no chance. You can get 2 catches for 7 yards. Or maybe Malik Nabers is that next level. And I mean this in the nicest possible way. Michael Jordan-esque psychopath who is like, oh, I heard everything.
Yes.
And I'm going to make you pay for it. Like, that's what I'm afraid of because he's already really good.
Nabers is that talented that going out there, you're going to be very excited to see him, to see what he's doing because he's that good. If you like the game of football and you know you can separate your team and all that and be like, I have a little respect for what this guy's doing. Just like Tim Duncan. I had a lot of respect for what Tim Duncan did because he was one of the best at his position. Whether or not it was center or power forward, that's up to everybody else to decide. But I was like, dude, his game's so fundamentally sound and so good. I have to respect it, even though I hate it because of what they're doing. From the 940, I love being the soccer coach that says goal and turns his back for 5 seconds before it goes in.
Oh, man.
Being the, like, when Steph shoots up that 3 and just turns around and walks off because he knows it's going in.
Though, to be fair, there are a few things funnier in sports than when that person turns around and it doesn't go in. And you're like, oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, there are some people that have that meme out there that just does exist. Is it Nick Young?
He definitely has got the one
where he's like, yeah, as it's clanking.
It's not even close.
It's just clanking. So I know we discussed in Baseball Buckets this morning the moment of Jackson Holliday celebrating with the baby bird set up.
I really thought he was having a baby. I'm sorry.
But again, he is celebrating.
Yeah.
And as I've been watching all these teams clinch, what do we get the best of? We get the coolest videos of the clubhouse completely plasticed off and all the players just celebrating like crazy. Is baseball clinching playoffs, clinching pennants, winning World Series the best celebration in all of sports? Because I don't think we get as much access to any other one as we do with baseball.
See, and the only one that would compare only happens in one round with the Stanley Cup. Like I was thinking about, because I know you get the handshake line. I'm not going to lie. That's great.
But when the guys skate really around the ice with the cup.
Yeah, but otherwise they're like, no, I do not want to touch that. And so, like, I think the Stanley Cup celebration is amazing, but the rest of it, it's more subdued.
And, you know, last year whenever the Astros took their shots at the Rangers for celebrating.
Yeah.
And Bochy's like, no, we celebrate those moments.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? I've won a bunch of World Series. I know how to celebrate. Yeah. We're going to enjoy this every single time because I want those guys to have that taste in their mouth of the champagne. But also, I want them to have that taste of, hey, look, I can't wait to do that again. That's a motivating factor.
You know what? Now I'm going to say anything but baseball because I keep seeing those stupid Astros We Own the West shirts.
Look at them, man.
Don't own the World Series.
From the 806, I once had sleeping issues. And I got over it by watching Tim Duncan play basketball. He was greatness, but incredibly boring. Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
Again, fundamentals. Who loves a dude that banks a shot off the glass every time? Nobody. But he did it well.
Yeah, look, I know people are going to get upset. They're in the same era. I think in basketball history, they're roughly equivalent. Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant. To this day, you will find so many more people that will fight for Kobe to the death as opposed to Tim Duncan. They're like, oh, yeah, he's good. But then they'll be like, oh man, Kobe, do you remember when he did 81? Do you remember like all kinds of stuff? Because he's way more flashy.
Yeah, but and Tim Duncan was so dominant. Nobody, like, one-on-one, you weren't winning that matchup. And it was, he was. That is interesting. Is it because Lakers fans? Is that what it is?
I don't think so. I think that's probably some of it. Because I was going to say, if you flip them and put Duncan in LA and Kobe in San Antonio, I still think there would be so many people that want to emulate his attitude and his game and everything. I just think it was everything he did was out there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tim Duncan could have won the championship the same way he goes and gets the mail.
Yeah.
Like with that same expression on his face and everything like that.
I cannot wait to pour this bowl of cereal.
Yes, exactly.
It's going to be amazing. Now let's go win a championship.
Okay, Bobby.
Yeah.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Well,
oh,
I wasn't saying it in that manner. It. However,
what?
Panda Puffs. If you have y'all tried Panda Puffs yet?
What is Panda Puff?
It's like a peanut butter ball type cereal, and
isn't that peanut butter crunch?
Nah, it's better than that.
No chance.
Yeah, I'm betting it's like gluten free too.
Oh yeah, so, I'm out.
I don't know. I'm just saying it's
Nature's
awesome.
Path Envira Kids.
I'm telling you, dude.
Panda Puffs.
You give Noah one Panda Puff, he'll say some. I guarantee you, he'll say some. That is Noah's word. If you haven't heard,
man,
is the word.
This cereal's a little pricey, Corey. $4.50 for 10 ounces of Panda Puffs.
Really?
That's a lot.
I don't know,
Plano money.
What's that?
It's that Plano money, man.
Yeah, I mean, we got stars like Scotty coming out of Plano, bro.
If people weren't listening to that segment, they'd be like, "The hell did you just say?"
By the way. Ohtani, I think we're all excited about for playoffs, right? Yep. Like you're going to get to see. We saw him compete against Team USA in the World Baseball Classic and win.
Yes,
and he was a key factor in a lot of those moments. As a matter of fact, we got the greatest moment. He's on the mound closing the game against Mike Trout.
That was awesome.
And as a baseball fan, couldn't have asked for anything cooler. As an America fan, maybe Mike Trout would have hit a home run.
Sure,
but as a baseball fan, that was great.
America. Yeah, I really wish we'd have got that hit.
Is Ohtani in playoff baseball must-watch baseball?
I with all due respect to everyone else in the baseball playoffs, I think Shohei Ohtani is so far ahead of the must-watch of everybody else in this playoffs. It's like laughable. I think you could take the next best player in the playoffs and the worst player in the playoffs, and the gap between them two is the same as I think there is between Ohtani and the second best player in the playoffs in terms of must watch capability.
The other notable stars to watch during the playoffs, according to MLB.com, Kevin, Tarek Skubal, the Detroit Tigers pitcher, who's been fantastic. Riley Green, also of the Detroit Tigers. Colleyville's own Bobby Witt Jr.
If they make
the playoffs, obviously. I need them to make the playoffs and before I have to start growing out a mullet. And then, Kevin, on this list, if they make the playoffs, Cole Reagans. This is what it says. Other notable stars.
Yeah.
And Cole Reagans has now become a notable star on this team.
I understand people's concerns. I promise I do. I will forever be fine with that trade because we won the World Series.
Yes, absolutely. There are some other players to keep an eye on as well. But I thought the Cole Reagans one was really interesting. But yeah, man, this is...
Do you watch him and then root for him to maybe fail? Is that too strong of a word?
Hell no.
Okay.
I need him to succeed so that I don't have to wear a mullet. I mean, I need him...
Oh, okay. No, I meant fail from a perspective of now you don't feel so bad that the Rangers gave up on him.
No. I mean, honestly, I'm totally with you. I don't care. Yeah, I don't care what his career is. I'll root for greatness. I want him to be great. I do not care what he does because I want. We got a World Series.
Yeah,
Aroldis Chapman was an essential part.
Yeah, so I'm good
to this thing. You didn't. You're probably not winning that World Series without Chapman.
Agreed.
You didn't have another arm that was capable of doing what Chapman did, and to have him and Leclerc and Spores. So almost reliable in the playoffs. Like that was you felt really good every time you were doing that, and you wouldn't have felt that way with Cole Reagans out there, or probably still in the minor league system because the Rangers didn't know what they were doing at the time. However, tease for tomorrow.
Oh,
do the Rangers know what they're doing now? So, and somebody said, who do we get in that trade again? Again, it was Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah.
So that was the key to getting you a World Series. Again, the future here, I get it, but you won the World Series, the first one you ever got. You like it.
With the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, NFL overreaction or reality right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Here's Barkley, Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley's the guy. He's going to take it. Touchdown from 65.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for NFL overreaction or reality, and since we just played that clip, overreaction or reality, Saquon Barkley would be acknowledged as the best running back in the league had he not been stuck with the Giants for 6 years.
Was he not acknowledged as one of the best at the time while he was at the Giants?
Sometimes.
Okay.
But
injuries. I think injuries more
and
than anything.
Toiling away with the Giants when nobody cared.
I can get down with that. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. He's going to continue to be a thorn in our side. There's going to be a play or a moment where he gets the Cowboys and you're going to be upset about it.
Now, I think this one, after the last couple of games we've seen, is probably a no-brainer. But I'm going to ask it nonetheless. Gentlemen, overreaction or reality, the Cowboys are not contenders. I wasn't sure if you were finishing the peanut butter or thinking.
Partially okay. Finishing the peanut butter.
Okay.
Reality.
Right now
they are not. They do not look like a team that can compete for the playoffs.
Alex,
or in the playoffs.
Corey just broke so many hearts. Are you going to agree with that?
I'm just going to break all the rest. That's definitely reality. They are not. And until proven otherwise, they haven't really done much. They've already shown that against other NFC teams, they're not going to fare well. They've shown even outside the conference. So if they did make it to the Super Bowl, the AFC as of right now has their number as well.
True.
So outside of Cleveland.
Bonus question. The Cowboys will not be contenders this season. So you said at this point,
they can change my mind, okay. Definitely. Okay. And they have the skill players to change my mind.
Okay.
They just got to get better at a lot of different areas.
Okay. NFL overreaction or reality, Will Levis will never be a quality starting quarterback. I know it's early.
Reality.
Oh, man. Okay.
I mean, his coach doesn't believe in him.
The F are you
so
doing?
So it might be a Sam Darnold type thing where he has to go somewhere else where a coach is like, we believe in you, but... we're going to work on you not making bonehead decisions.
Yeah.
But right now his coach is looking like he wants to give up on him. And we look back at Darnold. There are a lot of different players. Baker Mayfield's a good example. They go to a situation that's just poor. Even if they have the talent, they're in a poor place and they're not getting taught how to be NFL quarterbacks. Maybe one day Levis lands in a Shanahan offense and he learns how to do it. But no, I don't think he's got it, man.
NFL overreaction or reality, man, I would not have thought I was going to say this at the beginning of the season. The Seattle Seahawks are going to win the NFC West. It's been three games. They have a two-game lead over every team in that division.
Did you hear earlier that nobody's throwing to their cornerback if he's in coverage?
That is pretty freaking spectacular.
They, as Alec pointed out yesterday, their head coach comes from the Baltimore Ravens, the defensive coordinator. He has a lot of those principles instilled in him. He's working with John Schneider, who is a great GM, who was Broaddus's one and only intern. And
bike versus car.
Huh?
Isn't that? Oh, that's Bob Schneider.
That's Bob Schneider. Yeah. So I was like, hold on. But yeah, so he's, you got, I think you have really good principles with that team. You have really good receivers, a stout defense, good running game, a quarterback who I think can get you into the playoffs, but I don't think is going to be the reason you're winning in the playoffs.
Okay.
But I do think that they are a contender.
No, we'll win the NFC West.
Yes, they'll win the NFC West.
Okay.
They're already ahead right now.
They really are. All right. Let's stick with the NFC West. Overreaction or reality? I don't care if it's only been three games. This just isn't the 49ers' year. Now, let me throw out some extra facts to go with that. During his time with the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan had never given up a second-half lead of 14 points or more until that Rams game. He was 50-0 in that situation. He had won 50 games in a row, but the Rams came back from 21-7. And let's add to that. You know how many times the Rams had lost in that situation?
All of them.
101 times in a row. When they were down by 14 or more points in the second half, they lost by 100. They lost 101 straight times until that game. So overreaction or reality, this just is not the 49ers' year.
To that game specifically, the Niners may have been down worse than the Rams going into that game. I understand.
In terms of injuries?
Yeah,
and
injury
stuff,
wise, yeah. Like their biggest players are all gone. Kittle, Debo Samuel, yep. McCaffrey in Germany for God knows what. Why do you go to Germany, dude?
I don't know.
Can't a German doctor come here?
Maybe they have specialists there that are good at that one thing.
What?
What his injury is.
How would you go to Germany?
I mean, if they had the best specialist in the world at something that was ailing me, maybe.
Maybe
if
other
I had
reasons.
A different job. For this job, I'd probably be okay.
Yeah, they're like, hey, we got to inject your throat because sometimes it has problems.
Huh? By the way, side question for people that are listening, not related to the NFL. Overreaction or reality? Getting your tonsils out as an adult is absolutely horrible.
Yes.
Okay.
Reality. I've done it.
Oh, man.
I've done it. It was awful. For about a week, and then I was back. But I also had a surgery on my nose at the same time, so I had double things I was dealing with. As far as the Niners go, I think that's an overreaction. And because if those players get healthy, they're going to be back. And you go back to, they played a lot of football over the last 4 years. Those bodies have been through a lot. They may need a little extra rest and a little extra time to get back into it. I wouldn't rush any of those players that are out right now back on the field. I would say we're going to do the best we can and then try to make a run here late in the season.
NFL overreaction or reality, Matt LaFleur is the early favorite to be NFL Coach of the Year. Now, it's only three games. They got Malik Willis. He looked like he was going to be maybe out of the NFL. They're like, hey, we'll give you a seventh round pick. In those two starts, he's completed 73.5% of his passes, which is crazy, for 9.5 yards per attempt, which is also amazing. Two touchdowns, 122.6 passer rating, and 114 yards rushing.
I think that he's a fantastic coach anyway. And what he's doing with a guy that wasn't supposed to be his quarterback and the way his defense is playing, the way he calls games, I think, yeah, he could definitely be. I think it's an overreaction right now. But I think he's in the mix for it for sure. Look at the last few winners. Stefanski, Dable, Vrabel, Stefanski, Harbaugh, Nagy, McVay, Garrett. How many of those dudes aren't even coaching anymore?
I know at least one of them.
Well, and Vrabel, not either. Like, he's not head coach. Nagy's not. Dable's about to be out.
There you go.
Stefanski, weird.
All right. He didn't deserve that award last year. Alec, you look surprised by my question. Do you think it is an overreaction that Matt LaFleur is the early favorite to be NFL Coach of the Year?
I think it's reality for now because DeMeco Ryans might have just slipped out of it.
Yeah.
Because of that loss that he suffered this week to the Vikings. Outside of that, I mean, Mike McDonald, I keep talking about him for a reason. Yeah. I think he would be fun. If he stays consistent, sure. The thing is, that team is already somewhat good. So I think that's why Matt LaFleur, with the quarterback issues, is going to get the early look. But if we're going by the guys that aren't going to be in the league somewhat soon, then I'll throw out Zach Taylor, Mike McCarthy. There's a few that you could throw out there as well. Yeah.
Now, this next one might confuse you at first, so I can explain. Overreaction or reality? The Miami Dolphins will hold a lead this week. They host the Titans on Monday. The Miami Dolphins, despite being 1-2, have led for zero time this season. They kicked a field goal with 0 seconds remaining for their one win. They have been tied or trailing all the rest of the way. They have yet to hold a lead this season. Overreaction or reality, they will get a lead this week.
Oh, are you insinuating they're going to win the coin flip and then score first?
Hey, that'd count.
That's the only way.
They're playing the Titans.
They're losing, bro. Yeah, I don't think Skylar Thompson is the guy.
Might not even be healthy. Might not even be out there.
So, by the way, somebody did throw Kevin O'Connell in the mix for Coach of the Year.
That's fair
because he's doing it with Sam Darnold.
That is a fair point.
So, but yeah, the Dolphins are reliant on a good quarterback. On a good quarterback. I'm not saying Tua is great. I'm saying he's good. They're reliant on that. They don't have that available to them right now. They should trade for Trey Lance.
Oh, my God, yes.
You are disrespecting Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley. What
yeah.
are you doing,
yeah, I
man?
I am. Yeah,
that's great. And he might not even get the start, even if Skylar Thompson's hurt.
That's so disrespectful. Just go 2008 Dolphins and go Wildcat.
Go Wildcat with everything.
Please.
That would be
well,
would
they got to get Mostert back. Fun. They got to get Mostert back.
That's fair.
And Jeff Wilson Jr. can not stay healthy for an entire
that's
game.
That's also true. I hate that team.
I do too because Achane was like, I picked him up. I was like, this is going to be great. And now they're like, hey, we're relying on you for all the carries.
Now, this is another one you might think is an extreme reaction, but let me just present one bit of statistical evidence for you. NFL overreaction or reality, Andy Dalton will be the Panthers' starting quarterback the rest of the season. Andy Dalton has made 2 starts in the last 2 seasons. He has 2 300-yard games. That is more 300-yard games than Bryce Young has in all of the other games where he has 1 in 18 games. So overreaction or reality, the hell with figuring out what you've got. The Panthers will use Andy Dalton as their starting quarterback the rest of the season.
Reality.
Wow.
As long as he's healthy, they made the point that they would like to try to win rather than watch their quarterback develop. And that's fair. Like, that's fair to a franchise that's been miserable the last few years and traded away multiple stars that they had in the bank. So I think that's a reality that he will be there because they've... Now, if he loses and they lose and they're bad and they're out of the playoffs and they don't have a chance, then I think they'll go back to Bryce Young and say, all right, we'll finish the season out with that. Because that could bring some excitement back to it. But, man, that owner is trying to figure out how to get people in the seats because they weren't showing up for that group.
Alec, what say you?
Corey is he's a perfect orator, and I fully agree.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. I fully agree. I don't think that this is overreaction at all. I think it's a reality because I hated this, and I wanted to avoid it as much as I could, but we truly saw that Bryce was the issue, and it... I don't think it's an indictment on him specifically in a weird way.
Do you not?
No, I think that he was in the absolute worst situation that he could have been. And the owner that doesn't know anything about football stepped in and made the final call on a pick that he shouldn't have been able to make. Okay. So I don't think it's an indictment on him, but at the same time, it is his fault. And Andy Dalton, the player said it after the game. A veteran presence does a lot, man.
All right. There you go. And that is NFL overreaction or reality.
Let's
go. We're the KNC masterpiece right here at 105.3 The Fan. Ooh, bonus question for both of you guys.
Ooh.
You would like more overreaction or reality tomorrow?
Hell yeah.
That's a reality.
Thank you. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Neighbors split out wide to the left, top of your screen. Jones on third down, looking end zone, throws, it's Neighbors. Touchdown!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Excellent, Hagee. How are you?
I'm doing well. The wife and kiddo came by, so that always brightens up the day. Now, we just played the highlight from Malik Neighbors. I know lots of focus is going to be on him. Did you think he would be the best receiver? And I know it's early, but do you like what you're seeing from him better than like Marvin Harrison Jr. early in the season?
I'm an LSU homer.
Okay.
And my stack, I actually had Neighbors above Harrison.
Okay.
Yeah. But when you talk about it on the draft show and things like that, people always go, oh, Broad, you always think your LSU guys are the best. And I do.
You just had to watch the film, though, to see it.
I love my kids. And the reason why that kid won the Heisman Trophy last year was because of Malik Neighbors. I mean, LSU has some skilled players, don't get me wrong. But Neighbors, everybody knew in the stadium where the ball was going. And he down after down after down. You know, it's funny. I was on with some the Giants talking about some of the Giants broadcasters talking about the game. And I'm like, you guys, I've seen even better plays from this kid.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen you guys are in for a real treat because this kid can make a ton of plays. You guys love the ability of Odell Beckham to make plays. This kid is just as good when it comes to making those types of plays.
Yeah, I saw the Baldy breakdown, and he was like, I think this might be even better than what we were seeing from OBJ when he was starting things off, when he had that epic start to his career with the Giants. So.
This kid can win on all levels. You know, you throw it to him short, you throw it to him intermediate, and you've seen what he's able to do down the field. The body control, the balance, the explosiveness that he plays with. The thing that I was worried about him was how good was Daniel Jones going to be. I was kind of worried that he was never going to, you know, realize his full potential of an NFL player playing with a quarterback like this. But this guy is a bad ball catcher, so he's able to make those kinds of plays.
Are you guys surprised at how much better Daniel Jones has played the last 2 weeks, particularly in terms of handling pressure?
Well, the Browns game was very clear because Thomas, the left tackle, was very much like with Guyton when they were dealing with Myles Garrett. And this, if you go back and look at metrics, which I'm starting to learn more about, this was one of those games where Daniel Jones actually got rid of the ball quicker than any other time that he's been playing in the NFL.
I believe that.
So they figured out how to get the ball out. They figured out how to get the ball out to a quality receiver that can make you miss. Robinson can make you miss as well, the other receiver there. And then they got Singletary, who they can throw the ball to as well. So, yeah, the way that Mike Kafka and company there are calling plays for him, they're trying to limit the number of passes that he has to throw that kind of puts him in harm's way.
I mean, he's got experience. He's got tools. You know, he's at least 1 year they made the playoffs with Daniel Jones, right? So
right.
I think he can play well for stretches.
Okay.
You know, that said, they're still scoring about 20 points a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the main thing when he's there, for him to play well, I mean, it's mostly just avoiding the disasters. He used to turn the ball over a lot. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, avoiding the crazy turnovers. Getting the ball out faster is huge for him because he'll take a bunch of sacks. Obviously, the legs. And then they just got to get bounces here and there. That year they go to the playoffs. You know, you're eking out wins with, you know, you're depending on the other team to screw up. You're not scoring that many points. So it's not like he scares you a ton, but he is playing a little bit better. But everybody's going to play well, apparently, against the Browns.
Yeah.
Except the Jaguars, because they're in, I mean,
they might be
Baskey's team is, of course, the worst team in the sport.
Do you see that where Daniel Jones's numbers are better than Trevor Lawrence's numbers?
Yes. Oh, in terms of regular season at this point? Yeah.
Yeah.
It is amazing how disappointing that thing has turned from a year and a half ago when you're like, here we go. Like, they're on the cusp of doing something. Now, you mentioned the Browns. This might not be fair. It feels like Deshaun Watson always says the wrong thing. He was asked today whether he wants more design runs, and he said, no, I'm not a running back. And, like, I'm not saying he's wrong.
He's not looking like much of a quarterback right now.
Yeah, either. And he said, I'm not a running back. It's not my specialty. They signed me to throw the ball, make decisions, and be a quarterback, not a runner.
I think that he is very conscious of what's going on there with him as far as the games and how they've gone for him.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to be hurt anymore.
Okay.
That's where he is. His idea of, yeah, I'll do whatever I have to do for the team, but him standing on the sidelines is not good for him.
Okay.
And I think that's what he's trying to give you the picture is. I'm not a running back. Please don't make me run the ball, because if I run the ball, I'll get hurt.
Yeah, most players, I think, are coming to this, you know, at some point after, what, 4 or 5 years of a career. They've had some injuries. They're like, I'd really like to play this version of quarterback. And I think teams need to be careful and just not commit money to those guys.
Okay, yeah. You know, that's an interesting point.
Your quarterback doesn't run as much here
anymore.
That
is very true.
Yeah, he's not. It's not that he won't do it. He's just not interested in doing it.
Now, well, I mean, his ankle's hurting him in the summertime.
Yeah, that's true.
What's more important, design runs for a quarterback or escapability? Because I've always thought escapability, if you can throw escapability whenever those moments come where you're like, okay, everybody's covered, I can just pick up the first down or pick up some yards here.
Yeah, I want a quarterback who can take advantage when a play breaks down.
Yeah.
You know, I want a guy that can get me yards if we do want to have the rare designed run, but it's winning in the pocket, you know, or winning while throwing on the run for chunk plays that's going to ultimately win games. So I need that trait first than a design runner.
I think the guy you're about to play is okay with the design run. You know, I think his escapability, I think, is not as good. But if you say, okay, we're going to block down, pin and pull, and now put somebody in front of him to run, he's okay with that. You know, he's going to, and that's the same thing with the guy you faced last week. The guy last week is rare. He's got the ability to escape and be able to do design runs. The guy at the Commanders is the same way. You could design run him all day, but he's going to shake loose of tackles and things like that.
If you guys would have caught the Shohei Ohtani 50th home run when he secured the 50-50 club, and the Dodgers said you could meet Shohei and we'll give you $300,000, would you have accepted that deal?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were kicking it around, trying to figure out what we would do here. $300,000 seems pretty strong, but you had a couple of stipulations, right? You need that cold hard cash.
Oh, absolutely, I need that in cash. You know, and I don't want any announcement of it. You know, I'm trying to make this cash tax free.
Okay. Okay.
You know, so we're gonna do that. What is that called? Under the table.
Yes.
An under the table transaction. And I don't.
Something they don't do at UNLV.
I just can't imagine that ball is actually. That's not a multi-million-dollar ball. So I don't think there's like a huge upside that I'm holding out for.
Interesting that you say that.
Yeah, I don't even have to meet Ohtani. Just give me the cash.
So, Golden Auctions is putting it up. They said they got contacted by the guy the day after opening bid. Is $500,000. The buy it now price they're hoping for is $4.5 million. So they seem to think
that's lofty,
that they're going to get some heavy bidding action on this.
Am I a Dodgers fan and I caught it at that stadium, or
yes,
am I a Rangers fan
Dodgers
and I caught
fan.
It at his
stadium?
Okay, because if I'm a Rangers fan and I caught it at Rangers Stadium. Throwing it back.
No.
There you go.
Yeah. No, don't encourage. You just said you wanted the money under the table. Don't encourage.
I'm a big
him.
Rangers fan, man. Not a Dodgers fan.
He's not going to sell out.
Yeah.
Okay.
These colors don't run.
That's fine. I will definitely sell out if I catch that historic baseball.
But it comes and goes, man. My loyalty to my teams doesn't.
What if you just ask the Dodgers for $500,000 and we'll call it a day?
Yeah.
They probably would have done it.
I think the Dodgers would have absolutely done it.
Seems like they were pretty quick to 300.
Yeah, they say, okay.
If you're that quick to 300, you're probably ready to,
good point.
Bygones be bygones. Let's go
Give me half a mil and we'll call it a day. Oh, you want to meet Shohei? Nope, not interested. Just make the money in small bills.
Yeah.
Put in a little suitcase and hand it to me and let's go.
Absolutely.
I'll take $300,000 if you let me go back up to my seat and throw it back.
What? I guess that would actually work.
Would you throw it
too?
Back to like Ohtani?
I guess
Ohtani comes back. You get the money and you get. I'll throw it back, but Ohtani right has to be on the field.
Hold on. So Corey's going to act like he's this diehard and he's cut a side deal with the Dodgers. Yeah. And he gets
you throw it to a Dodger player or an employee. Yeah.
I do not think Gavin Dawson has ever been prouder of you than he is right now. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking, Hagee. A lot of good going on, including Gojo, Mike Golic Jr. at 520 there in the expressway, and everything here with this Cowboys-Giants game right out of the gates here in about 5 minutes.
I like it. I like it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Come back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
All right, go get Rangers.